Today's StreamGlobe devotional is titled, According to the Grace You Have. We shall take our Bible reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 reads, According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, but someone else builds on it, and each one must be careful how he builds. I have just read from the New English Translation. For several months, Jordan was almost frustrated in ministry because, although he led many to accept the Lord Jesus, he found that few were growing in their faith. As a result, many drifted back into the world. As Jordan grew in ministry, he realized that the grace given to him was more about laying the foundation than building on it. Others had the grace to build on the foundation, and he learned to make room for their ministry. He became much more effective when he stopped laboring in areas where the Lord had not given him grace. Similarly, Apostle Paul laid the foundation of God's building work in Corinth while others built upon it. Paul understood his grace and operated within it. As ministers of the gospel, it's crucial to recognize the specific grace given to us and to operate within that grace. Many have struggled in ministry because they did not discern and stay within the ambit of their grace. It's like a fish struggling to run on land like a squirrel. If you're reading this and thinking, I can do all things in ministry like an amphibian, I encourage you to reflect on Romans 12, verse 3. Go into today asking the Lord to help you know and operate within the ambit of your grace. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Luke chapters 23 to 24. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Luke chapters 23 to 24.
Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying,
We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king.
So Pilate asked Jesus,
Are you the king of the Jews?
You have said so.
Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd,
I find no basis for a charge against this man.
But they insisted,
He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here.
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him.
With one voice, they cried out,
Away with this man!
Release Barabbas to us!
Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting,
Crucify Crucify him! Crucify him! He's not the king!
For the third time, Pilate spoke to them.
Why? What crime has this man committed?
I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him.
But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them,
Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said,
He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One.
The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said,
If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself.
There was a written notice above him which read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him.
Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us!
But the other criminal rebuked him.
Don't you fear God?
He said,
Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus answered him,
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about noon. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice,
Father, into your hands
When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said,
Surely this was a righteous man.
When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. For all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus.
He's not here.
While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them,
"Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?
The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again."
Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them,
"What are you discussing together as you walk along?"
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him,
"Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?"
"What things?"
he asked.
"About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see."
He said to them,
"How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?"
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly,
"Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over."
So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other,
"Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?"
They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying,
"It is true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon."
Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them,
"Peace be with you."
They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them,
"Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I and myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have."
When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them,
"Do you have anything here to eat?"
They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them,
"This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them,
"This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
The end of the book of Luke.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.